Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 154 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast that looks at all things intercultural. Now, the big news is that we have started a Facebook page, which should make it easier for you to keep up with what's happening on the podcast and to leave comments. All you have to do is click the like button on our new Facebook page and you'll keep up with the news from the podcast, which comes to you from Denmark with me, Anne Fox, as your host, and Germany when Laurent Borgmann is your guide. And that's not all. This show also includes our first ever rap recorded on Skype. Stay tuned to find out why. We'll also be hearing about whether intercultural differences come out online.
Most of our communication online is really quite bland. It's difficult to see the culture, difficult to see the context, and we tend to focus on the message rather than take time to communicate and to share more of an understanding.
And finding out why this is a maths lesson.
It's a mathematic constant, it's irrational, decimal was never stopping, don't repeat ever, symbol that we use comes from the Greek letter, pi, don't know what it is, you ain't got a stream, yeah, go forever, but we break it down to 3.14, it's the ratio of the circumference of a circle to diameter, here we go, listen up y'all, you will never be an amateur.
And we'll be finding out whether it's important to learn the language of the indigenous Maori when you live in New Zealand.
And I am expected to learn some of the language in order to be socially acceptable, if you like.
So we'll start with Nikki Davis, a professor in New Zealand, who was speaking at the online Cultural Diversity in a Digital World conference in January. Actually, online conferences are quite common these days, but what made this one special was its attempt to include three languages, English, Arabic and Hebrew. The conference was organised in Israel, which explains the three languages chosen. But what would make you participate in an Arabic session if you don't speak the language? Perhaps the fact that simultaneous translation was offered in the other two languages. You'll hear Jay Hurwitz, who was chairing Nikki's session, refer to this as he introduces Nikki to the multicultural participants. Nikki was talking about the place of online communication in intercultural understanding and how the blandness of online communication makes face-to-face contact even more important. So let's go absolutely bland.
And then if you would turn down the sound in your main window, you will then be able to hear the translation at the same time that you see the slides. And now, it's my pleasure and honor to introduce Professor Nikki Davis from the University of Canterbury, New Zealand. Nikki has written in the introduction that despite the increasing diversity in education today and the potential to communicate with almost anyone, anywhere, anytime, the educational challenge of responding to diversity appears to loom larger than ever before, as well as the risks of ignoring this challenge.
Hello, and thank you very much, Jay, for your introduction. And one of the wonderful things of being in New Zealand is its cultural heritage. So let me give you a cultural greeting. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa, te ao. And that's my very bad te reo Māori. It's the indigenous language of this country, and it's an important part of what we do in New Zealand. And given the context of this conference, I make no apology for introducing this cultural greeting, but also a little bit of the style. And there is no way that we can use technology, at least as teachers and educators, without blending that in some way, making the technology serve the pedagogy. But unless we take culture into context, we're not going to be communicating and we're not going to be modeling the type of things that we want to happen in classrooms, particularly school classrooms around the world. And this is a very challenging thing for us to communicate. I learned that a little bit more with when I moved to the USA. One of the things I wanted to do was to bring more of an international dimension, because I've been working with my colleagues in North America, and very often they didn't look elsewhere. After all, it's a very large place and it does have a very influential place in the world, so they didn't bump into, if you like, the cultural contrasts so often. What we did see with our students was an enormous growth in maturity when they did travel. We thought we could do more online. And just like today, you're seeing very little of things in New Zealand, because most of our communication online is really quite bland. It's difficult to see the culture, difficult to see the context, and we tend to focus on the message rather than take time to communicate and to share more of an understanding. And that's partly why I started with the Te Reo Māori cultural greeting, because if you're working with Indigenous people, you spend an awful lot more time getting to know each other and greeting each other to provide more of that context. So one of the things that we need to do with our student teachers in New Zealand is to help them understand that Māori culture is alive and well. It's an indigenous culture that has performing artists and graphic artists. The people are in fact an increasing percentage of our population, and they provide a wonderful wealth. But when you're a beginning teacher in a teacher education program, just like the students and colleagues in the USA, you don't bump into it in the same way, and you tend to think, oh yeah, I learned about that, but it's not very real to me today. And so that is part of what I hope we'll aim to do more of together, is to make it more real.
We'll be hearing more about the Māori culture online at the end of the show, when we'll hear Nikki's closing remarks. So now I'm going to invite you to think back to your maths lessons at school. Was that something you looked forward to? I'm actually one of those people who enjoyed maths, for a short while at least, but I do know that it's not everyone's favourite subject. So our next piece is about how and why teacher Lamar Queen in Los Angeles started using rap music to teach mathematical concepts. Even more extraordinary is the fact that there is a World Pi Day to celebrate the mathematical constant pi, which you need to work out various things to do with circles. Come on, you remember this stuff, right? World Pi Day is on March the 14th. Why that date? Find out as we go absolutely pi.
Well, this is Lamar speaking. I teach sixth grade math and science.
And this is David Landix, and I work in special ed.
Yeah, we're at the same school, Los Angeles Academy Middle School. It's in South Los Angeles.
Where'd you get the idea?
Well, it's a very interesting story. This is Lamar. My first year of teaching, I was just very excited, just very ambitious. Thought I was going to go into the classroom and make an instant difference. But my students felt otherwise. They said that I was boring after about a month of teaching. So they challenged me to write a rap for them to make it a little more interesting. And I think the idea came about because I had a nickname at the school. They called me Kanye West because I guess I resemble him to some degree. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, Mr. Queen, you look like Kanye West. Can you start rapping for us? We need a change. We need a switch. So I took that on as a challenge, and I wrote a song that teaches graphing equations, slope intercepts. And so that's how everything began. It started with one simple song. We made a video. We got some of the kids to star in the video. And, you know, that's pretty much how everything began.
So, how do you integrate it? I mean, do the kids sort of learn it because it's fun, or?
That's the very, you hit it right on the nose. It's very fun for the kids. It's engaging. It's a change of pace for them. I know I was just teaching with a traditional lecture style, and I was doing a lot of notes with the kids. I hadn't come across a bunch of games that I could play with them. I didn't have a lot of strategy. So once I started integrating the music into the curriculum, they instantly became excited about what they were doing. They were ready for new songs, and they wanted to hear how I was able to, manipulate, these songs or these poems into, math lessons. So from there, it just became a matter of like, this is just cool for them, and they were able to listen because of the music. They just became a little more receptive to what I was saying because I started doing something that they hadn't seen before.
So they issued you with a challenge. Do you sometimes issue them with a challenge to make some for themselves?
We do it twice a year. Every year in my class, at least twice a year, I have kids, I have the students write a song or write a poem that they will teach the class with to kind of show what they've done throughout the school year.
Wow. And so just do I take it that this also works in special education as well?
Yes, it does. So what we do is we teach the concept one way first by doing straight standard form by the notes and the repetition. And then we use the music as a reinforcement. And the kids are real motivated and really enjoy the music and are learning it, one way by the audio and one way by video, doing with the music videos.
And do you have any reactions also from the parents?
The parents, they love what we're doing. I've had parents, stop me in the streets. I'll be walking down the street of my neighborhood, and a parent will just stop and roll down their window and say, "Hey, you're that math guy. You have my kids doing their homework now. They're actually passing their classes now because of your songs and videos." So
Oh, that's great. So you're saying that this actually has an effect on the kids' grades?
it definitely works when the kids are involved, because when the music's involved, because the students, they really just like something that is going to excite them, and they want to learn. The students want to learn. We just have to give them something that makes it fun for them.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about Pi Day? Because that is very new for me.
Okay, Pi Day, it's just recently been added to the calendar as like a nationally acknowledged day. And it's where we just celebrate the number pi. It's an irrational number, and it's three point. It's a never ending decimal. 3.14159 are just the first couple of digits. And March 14th has just become recognized as Pi Day because of the numbers. 3 represents the month of March, and then the 14 represents the day.
Ah, yeah, right. Okay.
Effectively, like with the number pi, 3.14. So that's how it's come about, and a lot of teachers in the States are using that day as opportunity to kind of teach pi, teach lessons using pi. And David, he has a really cool video where he's teaching a lot about pi. So we decided that we would post that on the internet for teachers to use and for students to learn from on that day.
Now then. I wonder if there's any chance in maybe getting a sample of what you do over the Skype here. Would that be possible?
How you feel about David? You think we can do a little sample?
I think we could do a little sample.
I think a good one that we can do will be integers. We have a song that teaches integers, and those are just positive and negative whole numbers, including zero. And so sometimes the kids really forget this concept. So we'll go ahead and do that one for you. So it goes like this: integers, whole
whole
numbers
numbers
in
and
the opposites, and don't forget the zero. Please don't forget the zero. And these are positive and negative numbers on the number line. Oh yes, it's math time, y'all. Integers, whole numbers in the opposites, and don't forget the zero. Please don't forget the zero. And these are positive and negative numbers on the number line. Oh yes, it's math time. -2 - 3 = -5. Just add up the numbers and keep the same
I'm gonna
sign.
say it kind of different. -2 + -3 = -5. You gotta keep the same sign.
Right, 3 - -5 = 8.
Just add the opposites is how you get 8.
And that's integers right there. We're not gonna do the whole song, but it kind of gives you a little idea of, you know, how we put the math concepts and the steps to the song into a lesson, and the kids memorize that, and that's how they become, you know, more receptive to what they're learning, and they can memorize it.
That's great. It's all coming back to me now.
Once you have it, you never lose it.
Nah, that's right. That's true. This has broad appeal across the whole of the US. It's not just a phenomenon that's tied to your neighborhood.
Definitely has mass appeal. You know, we try to make sure that we're making music that everyone can enjoy. Being that music is universal, we've even had people in Australia email us and tell us how much their students are enjoying our music. Students in Greece have sent me messages like on Facebook saying like, hey, Mr. Q, we're listening to your songs out here. Oh, someone in England sent us an email saying how much their students are enjoying our music. So definitely has mass appeal. And
you can hear more Maths Raps at musicnotesonline.com. And we'll also put that link on our blog at absolutely-intercultural.com, as well as on the new Facebook page, of course. So how would this go down in your school? I wonder what would be an appropriate meal to eat on Pi Day. Apple pie for dessert, obviously, but what about the main course? In our last category, Absolutely Maori, we'll return to that trilingual online conference in Israel and find out why it's important to learn the Maori language in New Zealand and why it is that you can't just use a dictionary to translate into Maori.
You're asking what are some of the things. I would think that perhaps the very, very basic thing is to actually believe that it's possible. In today's world, it seems as though it's the amount of trust in the actual possibility of bridging bridges has so declined that just believing that it can be done seems to be a step in the right direction.
Maybe that links with Elaine's question. Are the teachers positive about learning the Maori language? Yes, indeed they are. And the more they are in situations where te reo Māori is expected, the more positive they are of the support that they get. It's important in this country to be able to introduce yourself in a culturally sensitive way because there are many welcoming ceremonies, and that's something that you need to do. And very often to give a greeting and a whakatauki. In fact, I'm going to have to do that for the first time before long. So yes, they are very positive about it. They also find it extremely challenging. There is a good question here from yourself about how do they interact socially with Maori people? And the answer there is yes. In the North Island, there is quite a high percentage of Maori, so they are throughout society. But also, you cannot necessarily recognize a Maori by looking. So anybody who identifies as Maori could well look extremely European. So it isn't something that's easy to see as it is in some other places. And so yes, we're interacting socially with Maori all the time, and we have colleagues who actually help us with that. One of the things I find in New Zealand is that we do get a cultural induction into it. It was a very early part of when I arrived in New Zealand, and I am expected to learn some of the language in order to be socially acceptable, if you like. We've had some mistakes, for example, where our librarians have added more information and language, and then our Maori colleagues have gone back in and said, no, you can't do that like that. And they will take it away, and it takes a long time to come back because it's a communal decision. It's not a simple translation. And of course, that's why when he mentions culture and its influences, that's really important. And so I think we are forgiven for trying and not being perfect. We're better forgiven for that than not to try at all.
So thank you very, very much. How does Kia Ora it means other things in addition to thank you. I think I've seen it in other places.
Yes. Kia ora means hello, goodbye, thank you, bless you.
Well,
it's very helpful, and encore.
Well then, in that case, we're very, very glad that we've learned a very useful word.
Now that was just a short extract from Nikki Davis's session. And although the conference was in January, it was recorded, so you can find the links to this and all of the other sessions and recordings on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. So, I hope you've enjoyed Skype rapping and that you will try not to be too culturally bland online, perhaps by leaving us a comment on our blog, where you will find links to all the people and events we mentioned in this show, or on our new Facebook page, where you could, for example, leave some suggestions on what to eat on Pi Day. The next show will be coming to you from Germany on June the 1st. So until then, kia ora.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.